Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our Ryan Burrow is in Milwaukee, where the Republican convention will be getting underway shortly. Ryan, good morning. I guess the new reporting has to do with the changes in speeches and also changes the way the Democrats are counter messaging. What's the latest?
It seems as though the Democrats are pulling back a little bit as far as having some of that counter programming. We know that J.B. Pritzker was supposed to be up here today. It sounds like that is off. We really don't know exactly what today is going to look like. It seems kind of fluid. We know that the themes of the day are Make America Wealthy Again. We are under the impression that Donald Trump will appear at Fiserv Forum at some point, likely this evening. Remember, he still has not named a vice presidential candidate at this point, a running mate to this point. So that's something that needs to get worked out. But of course, Bob, going into this, the big discussion, the big conversation, and the very noticeable thing that we're seeing is security. The U.S. Secret Service had been planning this for months. I don't necessarily know that Saturday's incident changed all that much as far as their planning. I can tell you that this is a downtown that is heavily on lockdown. There are two perimeters. One perimeter on the inside, you need a special Secret Service pass to get. I have that. Media do. Delegates have it. Some of the other people who are involved in this programming have this. And then there's an outside perimeter where some of the demonstrations will be going on. But literally, I'm sure you've gone through Milwaukee quite a bit. There are metal fences everywhere. There are concrete barriers everywhere. Yesterday, when I went and picked up my credential, literally I drove down a street that ran into a concrete barrier that I didn't hit the concrete barrier, but I mean, these roads just kind of end essentially. They've literally got all of downtown Milwaukee on complete lockdown. Movements are very much being monitored. And I would assume that would be very similar to what we'll be seeing in Chicago.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about that. Is this a clue as to what we're going to see around the United Center?
I would say so. The benefit to Chicago, though, is that the United Center is not in the heart of downtown.
Right.
There's going to be some activity going on at McCormick Place. So when you look at that area might be under a lot of Secret Service protection. But I think downtown will, for the most part in Chicago, be I don't want to say, you know, completely free to move around, but it won't be quite as limited as those areas. Right now, downtown Milwaukee is very, very limited. Foot traffic as well as car traffic. You have to have special permits pretty much to get anywhere. Once we get through this security checkpoint, we're kind of lingering outside right now because it's going to take some time. The car will be wanded. I will be wanded numerous times every building I enter. So lots of people with long guns around.
Ryan Burrow in Milwaukee for us. Appreciate the reporting as always, Ryan. We'll be in touch.
You got it, Bob. Take care.
WGN-TV's Ben Bradley is at the Republican convention in Milwaukee. Ben, good morning. I heard your report earlier on our simulcast of the WGN-TV early morning news, and I think you referred to the situation there as a fortress surrounded by a moat. Is that it?
Yeah, the moat would be the fencing that's gone up around the convention center stadium, and actually the river that runs through downtown Milwaukee is off limits too. So there's actually, you know what? There is a moat.
Yeah.
But I was thinking as the crew and I were walking, you know, 6 blocks after we went through a vehicle checkpoint over to the stadium for this morning's live shots, that if, you know, if we're going to compare what Chicago's experience is going to be in August to Milwaukee's, I can already say Chicagoans may have lucked out a little bit since the United Center isn't, you know, right in downtown. It's kind of an island in of itself. So while there's still going to be big security impacts in Chicago, it won't be like here in Milwaukee where you have, you know, a big portion of downtown that's essentially off limits to everyone who hasn't been pre-cleared and screened.
Yeah. And what are you hearing as far as changes in what the Republicans are planning in the wake of Saturday's assassination attempt?
Well, former President Trump arrived here last night, which is earlier than most presumptive nominees arrive at their convention. The thinking is that he, in dramatic fashion, is going to appear on stage or somehow in the arena with his still unannounced vice presidential pick, and that is expected to happen later today, probably this evening. But it's interesting. I was talking to some of the Illinois delegates, and they say Saturday's shooting refocus their attention on who the VP pick will be, because it was a sudden reminder that this guy, who they view as being, you know, strong and tough and, you know, never stumbles, in their opinion, at least from a, you know, force of nature perspective, you know, mm-hmm. he was a centimeter away from having a really bad outcome. So it does put more eyes on the VP pick.
And is there much talk there about what's happening with the investigation?
There is more, I want to say, animosity towards the press. Mm-hmm. with people yesterday saying, "Oh, that, you know, that the press was trying to diminish or downplay what happened," which is certainly not true. I think through their eyes, mm-hmm. caution in the early reporting, was then, you know, replayed hours later as a, "Oh, look, they're downplaying it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was very troubling to hear reports of the journalists being the subject of some harassment after the shooting. And
well, that's become par for the course.
Yeah.
And you can have your problems and quarrels with the media, but in the same way that you wouldn't say, you know, because one priest is bad, all priests are bad, you probably shouldn't loop in, your local Chicago's very own WGN news team with, some of the screaming fanatics that you see on cable news.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, it was really troubling to see in the video that's been constantly replayed, that wide shot of the stage area. You can see several people giving the cameras the finger after that. And, you know, it's such a horrible moment. And to think that in that moment people are doing that, it's very disturbing, isn't it?
It is, but it's not surprising because we've seen this animosity ramp up, and I don't believe in both sides isms, but obviously former President Trump has, you know, called the media the enemy of the people and, you know, branded the media fake news, and you have President Biden and Democrats, you know, calling Trump authoritarian and saying he'll be a dictator. And voters can decide what of that they want to believe, but the reality is, in our society, there are folks who have some mental imbalances who that will light a fuse.
Right.
And we don't know the motives for this 20-year-old shooter. He didn't have much of a social media footprint, which is odd for a 20-year-old of that generation, as you know, Bob. Mm-hmm. He was a registered Republican in Pennsylvania, but also had donated like $15 to a Democratic cause. We had an interview on our air over the weekend from somebody who went to high school with him, who said, you know, they thought he had conservative viewpoints on most issues that came up, and so they'd be surprised that, you know, he would then shoot a mm-hmm. candidate who has, you know, done a lot to make the Supreme Court more conservative, et cetera.
He may have been bullied in school too.
But as we've often seen, the answers, the motive, the explanation is usually pretty disconnected from reality and unsatisfied.
Yeah.
You know, you only need to look at the Las Vegas shooting that killed so many people to know, you know, we don't always learn a motive, and we don't always, that doesn't always, mm-hmm. you know, even when we do, it doesn't offer an actual explanation, because as an old Chicago copper told me once at a scene when I was 20 something, and said, "Well, I don't understand why did this guy do this?" And the old school cop looks at me and says, "Kid, The problem is you're trying to assign a rational motive to what is inherently an irrational act.
That's exactly right.
And that always
exactly
stuck
right.
with me.
Yeah, and then you have the case of the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley, the motive there, not even political. He's trying to impress Jodie Foster. So you never know, do you? It's
such a great point, Bob. Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Bradley in Milwaukee, and we'll be checking in with you this week, Ben. Appreciate the reporting, as always.
Always good to be with you, Bob.
Thank you.